What up, what up? Welcome to Chip and Zay here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Appreciate everybody for rocking with us on this December 19th, Friday, Football Friday, because even though Texas ain't in the college football playoffs, Texas is making the headlines around college football because, as we know, there's been a lot of changes in the last, 24 hours? Hell, the news broke when Chip and I were doing the show yesterday, and he had to take off to go get the inside scoop, which I'm excited to see what his take is on this situation. But yeah, again, appreciate y'all for rocking with us on this Friday. Like, subscribe. Y'all know how we do. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X, Instagram. We're everywhere, man. You know, it's popping. Texas Sports Unfiltered, it's popping. Football's popping. Baseball's coming up, basketball season, men and women's, is popping around here, and plenty more. We don't just talk Texas sports. We talk a little bit of everything mixed with all the Texas sports that we talk about. So, yeah, just here having a good time and trying to dissect what's going on still. Steve Sarkisian had a press conference today. It was about 30-something minutes, and obviously you got to talk about the news of Pete Kwiatkowski out. Will Muschamp in? So Sark talked about that, and he had some weird things to say. Can't even front. It was weird. You know, first off, Sark let it be known that when it came to Pete Kwiatkowski, there was a lot of babysitting. Is that the word? Let's bring Chip on, because Chip was in the building. He heard it. Let's bring my man Chip Brown on. What's up, dog?
Hey, what's going on? In the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. We're happy to spend some time with us, Chip and Zay. Full disclosure, I got a hot date with my wife, so I had to get a quick shower, you know?
Wait a minute. Full disclosure. What? I mean, I appreciate y'all having a good time. That's beautiful. We love here on Chip and Zay, but you're talking about a hot shower and stuff. I don't know if our viewers want to hear.
Anyway. yeah, man. Sark today, really interesting stuff, I thought.
Yeah, I said the same thing.
I mean, he said that hiring Muschamp is a guy he could trust to be the head coach of the defense so he could spend a little more time on the offense.
Wow.
That if they need to call a timeout on defense, he doesn't have to be on the headset all the time. He could be over there with Arch or over there with Milwee or Coach Flood, he said. So Coach Flood ain't going nowhere. And yeah, he talked about how, you know, this, you know, frees him up a little bit. I thought that was really interesting.
It's crazy.
I mean, really interesting. So the other thing I thought, or go ahead, Zay, you were going to say something.
Oh, I just, how can he say that, man? Like, that's like, he's just straight up throwing Pete Kwiatkowski under the bus. When it's like, dude, you got to take some ownership. Like, you're telling me, because when I hear that, Chip, I'm so worried about Pete Kwiatkowski. I got to babysit him that I got Nick freaking Brooks in the game screwing up like hell. I can't see that because I'm so wrapped up with this defense. Will Muschamp won't let me make the mistake by having Nick Brooks out there. I won't have that mistake. I won't think that, oh, maybe it would be smarter to have Connor Robinson and Cole Hudson as my left guard and center instead of Connor Stroh, Neto, Nick Brooks. So Will Muschamp, apparently, he said head coach of the defense. We had to babysit PK. We had to babysit. I couldn't focus on the offense. I just couldn't do it. Me and Kyle Flood. That's why Arch struggled. That's why Ryan Wingo was dropping passes, because I'm locked in on this defense so much so I can't focus on what I do best, and that's call plays. That's what I heard at the press conference today.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. He talked about the timing, you know, why he made this move now and not after the bowl game. He said, if I wait till after the bowl game, I've got, you know, players all over the country and they're reading on Twitter how they have a new defensive coordinator, which I get. So he said, I wanted to do it now. And where I can you know, talk to my players. I've still got my players. And Will Muschamp's already in the building. He's meeting with players. They're getting to know him. He's going to be a part of this team at the Citrus Bowl. Johnny Nansen's going to call the defense, but Will Muschamp will be with the team. He'll be right there. I'm sure he'll help do some coaching. That's Will Muschamp's way. He's no wallflower. And so, you know, I thought that was important for people to know. Like, everyone was wondering, you know, what's with this timing? And he said, we got the transfer portal opening on January 2nd. If I wait to make this move until January 1st or January 2nd, I not only have players all over the country because they've gone home for the break, but, you know, they may be more of a flight risk, he called them. They could be more of a flight risk. So now he gets to have them meet Will Muschamp, get to know him. Of course, the first name he mentioned was, you know, Colin Simmons. You know, Colin Simmons gets to meet Will Muschamp. And I'm always intrigued by the names that get mentioned. You know, he mentioned Grayson Littleton. He mentioned
Cade Phillips.
Cade Phillips, Alex January. So, yeah, Colin Simmons, Grayson Littleton, Cade Phillips, Alex January. And so, you know, he talked about the timing of it. And then, you know, he was asked, does this help you beat Georgia? It's Will Muschamp. He's been in there with Kirby. Was, you know, the defensive coordinator and those national championship teams at Georgia in 21 and 22. And Sarkisian basically said, if that's an unintended consequence, so be it. You know, we're going to be going up against that defense good on good in practice every day. Maybe that helps us the next time we come across Georgia. So, yeah, you could tell Steve Sarkisian, you know, Nick Saban had a lot to do with this hire, whether it was a phone call or just the fact he said that Nick Saban, every time he mentioned Will Muschamp, he could hear the respect, the reverence. He said in 2019, when Sarkisian was the offensive coordinator at Alabama, they played South Carolina. And he said he could tell from the way Nick Saban was talking about Will Muschamp, the amount of respect he had. Of course, Muschamp was the defensive coordinator for Nick Saban at LSU when they won the national championship in 2003. So you could hear the excitement in Steve Sarkisian's voice, couldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, as much as I dislike the whole, focus now on the offense. I couldn't focus on the offense before because Pete Kwiatkowski, blah, blah, blah. I appreciate taking Will Muschamp and understanding that he does have an inside scoop on Georgia. He was a big part of Georgia's success and reason why Kirby Smart is where he's at and that program is where it's at. Because you know how I feel about the Steve Sarkisian Kirby Smart relationship. He ain't your friend, Steve. This is what I'm talking about. This is how you get some payback. Cool. Let's weaken them a little bit. Let's bring in one of Kirby's top dogs and have him run the show for us. And again, it's not like he's unfamiliar with the territory. He's been on the 40 acres before. Emmanuel Acho made a video yesterday, Chip. That dude was talking about he's about to cry. That's how excited he was because Will Muschamp changed his life that much? Like, just dogs he coached. Texas fans remember Sergio Kendall. Like, what? He was moving Sergio Kendall around. Sergio Kendall went on the line. Sergio Kendall was the man when that happened. Like, he figures things out. And I hate that Pete Kwiatkowski is going out like this. Because Pete Kwiatkowski, I didn't think Pete Kwiatkowski deserved to get fired.
Right.
I didn't think that. And that's why it just really grinds my gears with how Sark talked about basically he had to babysit him. And now he's allowed to just focus on the offense. And it's like, oh, nah, man. Not the way this offense looked, the way that Kyle Flood's offensive line looked, I'd rather you not say that. But I understand the move. I get it. It's a type of defense that you need in the conference. And that bend but don't break defense, it's only gotten you so far. And you and I, we bring up those moments where you vividly remember just completely blowing assignments in the biggest moments. Like the Ohio State game, we've talked about that. We probably talk about that once a week just because the PTSD on that one is so brutal. But yeah, like Steve Sarkisian, they make some big time moves right here. And yeah, Will Muschamp, that dude could coach. He could coach some defense. And I said it yesterday, you don't got to be a good head coach to be a really good coordinator. I love Rodney Terry. I love him. I hope he gets another shot as a head coach, but I know Rodney Terry is a really good assistant. Head coach, still got a lot to prove. It is what it is. So,
yeah. Well, this, you know, the enemy of good, the enemy of great is good. And Steve Sarkisian needs to get his offense in order. And I agree with you. He didn't need to be saying this allows me to, you know, spend more time on with the off. Like, come on. Well, how about hiring some people on offense that you trust?
Oh my
God. Get their offense right.
Did him and PK get into a fight? What was that mean? Like, it must have, that's cold, man. That's cold.
Well, and I don't think, I mean, PK is so, you know, he's such a decent guy. He's so not about creating drama. I'm sure Steve Sarkisian said, hey, PK, man, you've done a great job. I'm really sorry. I just feel like I have to make this move to take the next step. And you're going to get the remaining amount on your contract. I know you'll get another job. I just feel like I got to make this move. And then you know, obviously didn't work with Dwayne Aquina. You make that move. And then today you come out and you say, I just feel like I needed to make this move because of all the success that Will Muschamp has had in the SEC.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all we needed to hear.
He won a national championship at LSU with Nick Saban. He won two national championships with Kirby Smart at Georgia. And I feel like I just had to make this move because of the success that Will Muschamp has had in the SEC. And I thank everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think he's discredited Pete Kwiatkowski. I think that's really disrespectful. Like, I joke about this. I think what he said was really disrespectful because it makes it seem like Pete Kwiatkowski and how he praised Will Muschamp. Like, you're the head coach of the defense. He said that multiple times, Chip. You were in the room. You're the head coach of the defense. I couldn't give that power to Pete Kwiatkowski because I didn't trust his ass. That's what we hear. That's what I hear. Y'all think I'm just being petty and messy. I don't really think I am. I think that's straight up. If I'm Pete Kwiatkowski, I might not talk to Steve Sarkisian ever again. Because what? Dude, it's not like Pete Kwiatkowski. It's not like the defenses were horrible.
Right.
Like, we got John A. Barron, the Thorpe Award. We got walk-on, slow-ass, non-athletic Michael Taft into an All-American and back-to-back college football playoffs. He didn't deserve to get dragged through the mud like he did today in that press conference, man. He didn't. That's dragged through the mud. That was cold. And he multiple times. He said that multiple times. Oh, I have to go over. I got the headset on the whole game. I can't focus. Like, he didn't say that, but that's what I mean. Like, you can't focus. You got the head. Like, take it off then. What you got the, like, take the headset off then. Okay, you straight up don't trust him. Cool. But, man, I think Pete Kwiatkowski deserves way more credit than how Steve Sarkisian made him look today.
Well, and even more than that, it's, okay, if this is, if that was his attempt, if that was Steve Sarkisian's attempt to tell us that the offense is going to get fixed now, okay, fix it. You know, if that's how you're going to explain to us with Chad Scott as the guy who's getting let go here and not Kyle Flood, okay, then fix it. Yeah. Fix this offense. Do what you got to do, because we don't need to be having these conversations anymore. You've replaced a really solid defensive coordinator who gave up less than 20 points per season, you know, 20 points per game in each of the last three seasons, and had you a championship defense in 23 and 24, a little more in 24 than it was in 23, because the pass defense was so much better in 24. But that, you know, that was a national championship team in 24. And we can talk about what happened at the end of the first half. We can talk about what happened at the end of the game. There's equal blame to go around, but you had first and goal from the one. Yeah. And came away with a strip sack touchdown, pick six for Ohio State. So, yay, this is big boy football. This is big boy business. And we talked last week about how I was hearing they're going all in for a run in 2026. And this is part of that, I was told last night. And again, thanks to Patrick Davis for jumping in. Because yeah, that kudos to Texas. They kept that thing under wraps. I was sniffing around on the offensive side for stuff going on in Whammo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was like, okay, what's the deal? And I was told this is an all-in move, you know? So, okay. I'm not mad. I think it's bold. And Steve Sarkisian's done a good job of being transparent with his players, and he's talking about that right now. So yeah, we'll see how they take to it. He's still got guys who are, you know, figuring out stay or go decisions. And so who knows, but yeah, this is, I don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in for the Citrus Bowl, but
yo, 65 scholarships. Yikes. Like, you playing some walk-ons in this one. Hey,
Marshall Landwehr, this could be the game of your life, baby. This could be the game of your life at linebacker.
Yeah.
I hope he gets in there and balls out.
I like Marshall Landwehr. He earned every bit of that scholarship this season with his work on special teams. Like, yeah. Everybody's going to remember Ryan Niblett's punt returns. Yeah, we remember that, but I remember Marshall Landwehr getting in there, making some big-time blocks to make those punt returns happen. So yeah, that dude, he earned all of that scholarship money. And, yeah, throw him out there. You got nothing to lose. Like, we getting a brand-new defense anyway.
Thanks for the super chat, Magic Man. Magic Man says, if this doesn't work out, Sark gone, all-in move. He's still probably got one more move left, which would be to hire an offensive coordinator. But yeah, this is an all-in move. This is an all-in move.
Yeah. And I see Rex over here like, man, y'all need to worry about y'all sources and not have feelings. I love you, Rex. You know I do, bro. What Sark said about Pete Kwiatkowski today was cold. It is. It's cold as hell. It's cold as hell. It ain't about having feelings there. I know when something's cold or not. It don't affect me. It clearly. I'm still going to talk my talk at 2 o'clock every day. But I'm going to acknowledge that it's cold. But I also can acknowledge, too, that Muschamp is a good hire. And, hey, feel like this is what it means to go all in. I can't be mad at making moves to try to get to that because it hasn't been good enough. So did I think that PK was the problem? No. I thought some things might have been tweaked. You know what I'm saying? Hey, just scoot up, guys. That's easy. Isn't that easy? Why are we 15 yards back? It is third and 15. Why are my corners 15 yards back? All we got to do is say, scoot up. Bam, solved. Right? Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, solved right there. Scoot the hell up. You know what I mean? Offensive line. It was a circus all year long. A circus. And again, it wasn't like Cole Hudson and my man Connor Robinson were great. They're all right. they're all right. You know, they were better.
Yeah, Texas wasn't in any Joe Moore Award discussions this year.
Hell no. Hell no. Shoes. Maybe Randy Moore Award.
Whoa.
But Joe, no. They weren't sniffing Joe. Not at all.
So,
yeah, that's you know, Kyle Flood, ouch. So he wiping the sweat off his brow because now I guess anybody could get it. If Pete Kwiatkowski's getting got, anybody could get it.
Well, and Kwiatkowski's going to get other job offers, you know. I mean, it is. And look, when you're trying to get over the hump in the SEC, then what a great situation to be in. I talk about it all the time. Alignment. You got to have the support from the top down. You got to have the support from the tower to Chris Del Conte. And when you have that, you have the resources to make moves like this. And that's, enjoy this, Texas fans, because this is when good things happen.
Yeah.
When you have alignment, you know, and you're getting that support financially, you're getting the resources you need, you got a shot. I mean, look at Texas Tech and what Cody Campbell's doing out there. You know, this is going to be, we're in a fascinating time. There's no doubt about it. It's the Wild West. It's crazy. It's really hard. These jobs have gotten a lot harder for the coach because of all the uncertainty and the fact that you really don't ever get days off. It can wear you out. I saw one comment in there today saying Sark looked exhausted. Yeah. Yeah, man. He's doing roster retention. He's in the portal. He's trying to figure out what other moves need to be made. But you can tell this one took a toll.
Oh,
yeah. This one took a toll. Anytime you're changing out guys in your foxhole, that takes a toll. So this is a big moment.
Yeah. What do you remember about Will Muschamp? And just covering him and the team during that time.
Yeah, the intensity. The intensity. You know, the intensity, I've had some people describe it as perpetual anger. but it's his intensity. I mean, it is. I always worried, is this guy got, I hope he doesn't have any blood pressure problems because we got to get him on the human super beats. You know what I mean? Get some of that, make sure that blood pressure is doing just great.
Solid plug right there.
You know, go to human plug-in. With two N's. .com/TSU and load up on these so that you don't have any blood pressure issues. But yeah, man, it was so intense. And, you know, I was talking to Aaron Williams, and he was in that huddle when, you know, Muschamp smashed the whiteboard and it snapped and cut him, and he's bleeding down his cheek and he's still just talking. Like, the guys are watching the blood trickle down his face and Muschamp's, and, you know, Aaron told me, he said he was pissed because he had just explained something and someone didn't get it. And he doesn't like having to explain something twice. And so, you know, you're going to pay attention. You're going to be accountable. You're going to rise to his level of intensity and detail. And that's why I said, if Will Muschamp is dialed in, if he's still got that fire, because he did take a break, and Sark mentioned it today, his son Witt is now a you know, sophomore at Vanderbilt, backup quarterback. And you could tell that Sarkisian, he was asked, was Will your first choice when you got hired at Texas? And he didn't just come out and say yes, but he did talk about how Will at that time was wanting to spend time with his son who was still in high school, and that the timing is now right. So there was definitely a gauging, you know, Sark went to Will to see, hey, what do you think? And Will was like, ah, timing's not right. And so if Will Muschamp is dialed in, and I'm sure he is, because he really only knows one way to coach, and that is with that fire and intensity. I mean, they are polar opposites in terms of personality, polar opposites. But the thing that, you know, some of his former players told me is that he also gets to know you on a personal level. It's not just all football. It's not just, you know, how could you do that? It's, hey man, how's your sick aunt? How's everything, you know? And so that's why the guys will go through a wall for him. And I'll tell you this, that defense in 08 and 09, those defenses were as confident. You know, they absolutely believed they could beat anybody. And I've said it a million times, they should have played for the national championship in 08. You know, that tiebreaker that screwed them after they beat OU by 10, and OU gets to go to the Big 12 title game, and then OU plays for the
Florida.
You know, yeah, for the national championship. I mean, yeah. Texas, that would have been a hell of a game too, you know, because of that Texas defense and all that. But yeah. And that was the season that Colt blew everyone away. That's the season he set the record. My God, he was completed 55% of his passes on 3rd and 7 or longer that year. I mean, it was
Colt.
He was cold blooded. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, Dwayne Akina, he's not getting talked about much with, you know, these changes for obvious reasons, but kind of on the same level as Will Muschamp, because I heard from sources that Dwayne Akina, it wasn't even close to what he was able to do at DBU. And I think that's because just the era of player is a lot different. Back then, you told them, hey, do this. It gets done. They do it. No questions asked. Now they want to, you know, understand why they're doing this. There's always a why. And some coaches can't adapt to that. So Muschamp, will he be able to adapt to this new era where kids are painting their nails and doing TikToks and dancing? I don't think Sergio Kendall was painting his nails, Chip. I'm just saying, the ones that do that, there's probably some tough ass kids that are painting their nails out here that are getting 15 tackles a game, whatever. But I'm just saying, kids are different nowadays. So for the defensive head coach, because that's what I'm calling him now. That's it. That's his title. He's not a defensive coordinator. This is the defensive head coach of the University of Texas. I heard it way too many times today. Will he be able to relate? Taking time off. We know as a head coach, it wasn't it. Florida, South Carolina, just wasn't it. But as a coordinator, all right. You one of them ones. Highly respected. You were just talking about the GOAT. Saban speaks highly of him. So that's the only thing that I'm like, okay, intense, fiery. As a defensive coordinator, you need that. But also, these kids get offended real quick. They start calling the agent. They butt hurt. And now they in the portal, which you shouldn't want those kids anyway. But still, that causes conflict with your team.
Yeah. Yeah. And Muschamp is going to oversee the secondary, which is something he's, you know, he was a safety. He played safety. He was a walk-on who became a captain at Georgia. And the other thing that's interesting is Mark Orfeh was a GA for Will Muschamp at South Carolina.
Small world.
So they know each other. They're familiar. They're comfortable. So as of right now, you don't have to make another hire right now. You can kind of size it up, see what you think, and go from there. So
what? Because clearly they're keeping Alan Clark, Kenny Baker, Johnny Nansen's calling the plays in the Citrus Bowl. You just mentioned Mark Orfeh. I don't know about Hudson, Nichols coach, Canelo Hudson, but did you hear about any talks of Muschamp saying, okay, Sark, the guys that you got right now, cool, but I got some guys in line that will help things run a little smoother because he is the head coach of the defense. So was Muschamp just all right with what he's coming into, or was he just like, nah, Dwayne Akita, he can go. Everybody else, I'm good with that.
Well, I think the fact that Akina got let go, there is a space. There's a spot for if Muschamp, you know, wants to bring someone in, he can bring someone in. And so I think we'll have to see how that develops. But yeah, I mean that's something that you have to pay attention to. Yeah. Because you can have unlimited coaches. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
This also makes the Leonga LaFalle transfer make a lot more sense. Because I'm sure during those exit meetings, at least I would hope, I really don't know, but I would hope that Pete Kwiatkowski probably won't be here next year. So, if Leonga LaFalle and Pete Kwiatkowski are close, and all right, what's the point of me even being here? Even though I've been at Texas for how many years? Like we don't know, but I'm just saying.
I think the Leonga LaFalle situation was more about, hey, I've got some other interests coming my way, and I think Texas was like, you know what? Good for you. I don't think Texas was ready to go up in NIL at that position. So, you know, I think that was a move where they looked at the cap and said, you know what? Good for you. You've earned that. Go get it. And we'll work with what we've got and look at what's in the portal and go from there. So, yeah, I mean, everyone thinks that Texas just spends unlimited money, and they don't. You know, they try to run it like an NFL team. They have this amount of money set aside for that position and that position, and then they got to make it work.
Okay, yeah, speaking of that, because reports came out that Arch Manning is taking less money. I didn't think he was a part of...
Right, he's not.
Yeah, who? What was that?
I don't know. I'm like, yeah, maybe you're not... You know, Arch is doing just fine on his own.
That's what I'm saying. Warby Parker, them glasses look cool. Like
Warby, Waymo.
Yeah, like, come on.
Biore. Yeah, Red Bull. Yeah.
Why? Yeah, which Arch, that's what I'm saying. It should be known that Arch has been doing that.
That's right.
Like, he's been, not just this year, his whole, from freshman year to now. Right. Like, he hasn't taken a dime out of what Texas has going on when it comes to NIL. That doesn't mean Red Bull ain't coming calling and Waymo and Warby Parker, but as far as what Texas has going on, Arch ain't touching that. He's letting everybody else eat.
Yeah.
So I don't know who came out with that reporting. I try to honor every journalist. It's a hard gig, but come on, man. We got to do better. We got to do better because that just, yeah.
Well, do you have the Emmanuel Acho?
I can get it.
Because I didn't see that. I'd like to see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Emmanuel Acho was turned up.
We're supposed to get Lance Taylor at some point here before we get to John McClain.
Lance isn't going to Norman, right?
He is not.
Good move. Good move.
We moved Lance around. He actually needed to move to Friday. So hopefully we get him here for a minute or two. But I'd be curious to see what old E. Acho.
Lance might be hurting from last night's game, man. That was a heartbreaker for them Rams. That was,
oh my gosh. So we had a bunch of family come in. It was a crazy night last night. We had a bunch of family come in. So the last I looked, the Rams were up like two touchdowns.
Man.
What happened?
The play of the game. So it's 30-22. Seahawks score 30-28. They go for two. Sam Darnold drops back to throw a check down, but it was a backwards pass. Verse, what's my man's name? Jared Verse. He knocks it down. Backwards pass, fumble instead of incompletion. It rolls in the end zone. Everybody thinks it's a dead ball. Except for Charbonnet, he like lollygags over to the ball and just nonchalantly picks it up in the end zone. Touchdown. They don't call it then. They go and review it. They're Herb Streak and Michaels are talking about it. And that's what the guy's saying. Whoever's in New York, the main ref that they got in New York, you know, when they do the reviews and stuff, he's over here talking about, yeah, that's 2-point conversion right there. It's about to be a tie ball game. These fans, Al Michaels, like, these fans are about to go nuts. And sure enough, that's what happened. And Sean McVay, he's like smiling and shaking his head like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, what kind of luck is that? Because Stafford and Puka Nacua were killing, boy. And yeah, they were up. And then all of a sudden, that Rams offense, like, four out of the last five drives – ended in no points, and they just got kind of stuck there. And yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. And then shout out to Mike McDonald, goes for two in the after they scored in overtime and converted that thing, ended up winning, got some balls, man. For
that's amazing.
Number one in the NFC, huge game,
man.
Yeah. So, Lance, he might
He might be
hurting. He might be hurting. Yeah, that was a tough one.
You got the Iacho thing?
Yeah, it's loading.
Okay. Yeah, Rodney says, yo, Chip, it was kind of impressive to watch you transform to journalist, Chip, when the news dropped yesterday. Yeah, that was like, okay. So, again, thanks to Patrick for jumping in because obviously I was on the horn.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard our conversation with Drew Fabianis yesterday. Drew was very opinionated on the Chad Scott move because
him and
Drew said, so we're firing coaches for players now, talking about Jabbar Jalouk and hopefully getting Jaden Ball with it, which I get Drew saying that. I get he has every right to say that because I'm sure it's going around. But yeah, he was like, Chad Scott is a terrific coach. For him to get the bullet, yeah, so that made me think a little bit. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, different strokes for different folks. Tashard Choice is a tough act to follow, I'm telling you. And that had a lot to do with this. And that kind of personality, and maybe Sark didn't quite realize that he was going to have a personality similar to Tashard Choice.
Yeah. How could he realize it, Chip? He's got the headset on for the defense. He's worried about that.
Oh,
we're going to have fun with that. We're going to have fun with that, man.
Zay is feeling it.
He's worried about the defense. He's over there talking to Pete Kwiatkowski all the time. How could he see it?
Yeah.
All right, I got the Emmanuel Acho.
All right, so this is Emmanuel Acho talking about Will Muschamp coming back as defensive coordinator because, of course, Iacho overlapped with Will Muschamp.
Yo, I'm about to cry in public. Will Muschamp back in Texas? This is a game changer. Will Muschamp is the greatest teacher of defensive football I have ever been around. I had Will Muschamp my freshman, sophomore, and junior year at Texas. I think we had the number 3 overall defense, the number 5 overall defense, like the number 3 overall defense. It was us, it was Bama, it was Florida. Will Muschamp understands defensive football, I would suggest, greater than any mind in the collegiate game. Remember, Muschamp was the co-defensive coordinator for those back-to-back Georgia defensive teams that won national championships over the last 4 or 5 years. Will Muschamp coaches with a tenacity and an attention to detail that you do not find. It is an uncommon passion for the game of football. Texas, this isn't good news. This might be the greatest news in the last 3-4 years. Signing Will Muschamp is better than any recruit because Will Muschamp can turn a 3-star recruit high into an NFL draft pick. Will Muschamp can turn a 5-star recruit into a top 10 pick. Will Muschamp ain't nothing like him, bruh. He's crazy. He's a crazy man. But ain't nothing like him, bruh. That's my man. And he needs to call me back. Champ, if you're watching this, I swear you better call me back.
I bet he was a little busy, Iacho. But, nah, Iacho said that he called him back. So, yeah.
I mean, those guys love him. And he's a... He has acquired taste. Coach Boom.
Coach Boom. That's a name right there. That's a fire name. I like that. Coach Boom. Yeah. 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 I don't know if he's going to be punching whiteboards and slamming clipboards.
I bet he learned
that same whippersnapper that he was. I was, 08. 08 feels like yesterday. It ain't yesterday.
No.
It's like almost 20 years, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool, though. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys are fired up about him. The guys who played for him. So that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot. And look, you know, Roy Miller, who played for Muschamp in 08, went on to the NFL, had a good career. All right, there he is, Lance Taylor, lanceslock.com for a few minutes. LT, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas. I am so sorry, guys. I am, we've got, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the great organization that is Folds of Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a shopping spree for a family today, and I cannot find the location I'm at. And so I've been on the phone trying to figure this thing out. But anyway, I am late to you guys, and I do apologize because I always feel like I am so scattered when I talk to you guys. But happy holidays, and I am very, very sorry that I am late.
Well, what'd you think of Steve Sarkisian hiring Will Muschamp?
Boy, you know, I was asked today, was the defense that bad? And, you know, I mean, from where it was early in the season to where it got, and I thought they played well against A&M, but I did not see Will Muschamp. I mean, is there a connection? I guess, were they analysts together on Saban's staff?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, where is the link outside of Muschamp was, you know, the coaching waiting at one particular time for Mac Brown and – I don't know. I thought it was a weird hire, but where are Texas fans on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a level of excitement. I think his Sarkisian's respect for Muschamp comes from Sarkisian's time with Saban, and the fact that Muschamp, you know, was the DC on that 03 LSU national championship team. And, you know, Sarkisian said today, this is a guy who has won at the highest level in the SEC, and that's where we need to go. So this is a trying to go from good to great higher.
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys have heard, like, you know, some people make really good colonels, not necessarily great generals. And, like, Will Muschamp's hell of a defensive coordinator. I don't think Will Muschamp was the best head coach in the world, but not a lot of people are. So, look, guy knows defense, and I don't understand what happened to Texas's defense this year, because it does seem like they fell off a cliff.
Yeah. 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 They had some injuries, but you can't fall off a cliff.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, really, I would equate where Texas's defense went was kind of like where Alabama's offense went. I know we'll get to that game in a minute, but like there's injuries, but everybody's banged up at this particular point. So you can say, hey, this guy, that guy. But at the end of the day, like your twos are supposed to be better than 90% of the ones out there.
Right.
Yeah, Lance, Bama tonight, Bama and Oklahoma. It's kind of 50-50 for a lot of people on this game. And both teams' offenses know they're struggling. Which defense is going to make enough plays? Which offense is going to make enough plays? Where's Caleb DeBoer's head at with all the Michigan news? Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it's a tough game, Zay. You know, and it opened Alabama 1.5, and it's flipped back to Oklahoma 1.5. And if you, like, go through all the categories, and, like, I threw five up today, like, offense, I still give Alabama the advantage. I mean, Oklahoma's offense has been broken all year. Defense, Oklahoma. Special teams, Oklahoma. Head coach, Alabama. And starting quarterback, I would go Ty Simpson. You know, I thought Mateer was going to be so good coming to the SEC. And whether it's his thumb or not, there's just something off with Mateer, and there's something totally off with this offense. But for whatever reason, you know, Alabama against Oklahoma the last couple of years, they lost 28-3 in Norman last year under DeBoer, and that was with Jalen Milroe. And then this year, they look like the much better team in Tuscaloosa, losing 23-21, but they were -3 in turnovers. So Alabama's got to figure out a way to protect Ty Simpson and not turn the football over. But it's just strange how much they have really struggled against Brent Venables' defenses.
Well, when you look at Ty Simpson, I mean, how broken, you know, how beat up is this guy? Because it seems like the offense started to, you know, go down when his body started to fight back.
Well, Cam Newberry, you know, Texas A&M transfer on that offensive line, he's been hurt the last couple of games. Parker Brailsford, your starting center, one of the best in college football. He's got a bum ankle, and it's been like that for weeks. So I think the offensive lines have been hurting. Ryan Williams has completely disappeared. His second go-to behind Jeremy Bernard, Josh Cuevas, the tight end, has been out the last couple of games. I'm hearing Bernard's not 100% healthy. Ty's got a back issue that either he got it against Missouri or South Carolina. So there's a lot of things that go into it. I don't want to say it's the confidence of Ty. I don't want to say it's the play calling, because Ryan Grubb has kind of been calling plays with one hand tied behind his back because Alabama can't run the football. Look, that's on the coaching staff. They don't have an explosive guy back there. Jam Miller and Daniel Hill are doing what they can. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they're 117th nationally running the football. And, you know, against the fifth overall rush defense in Oklahoma, you know, that's not going to change tonight. I mean, this is going to be on Ty Simpson. He threw for over 300 yards earlier this year against Oklahoma. So he's going to have to find that magic again if Alabama is going to be able to win this game. And I think a lot of it has been the offensive line has not protected him. Three straight games that they've given up 3+ sacks in all three of those games. And now you're going against R. Mason Thomas is healthy this time around for Oklahoma, who's, you know, obviously their best pass rush, got 6.5 sacks on the season. You know, I would say that Alabama in this spot, if Oklahoma had a semblance of an offense, I wouldn't think Alabama really had a shot to win this game tonight. But again, the both offenses are so broken, it's really an evenly matched game.
Yeah. Lance, Kalen DeBoer came out and had his reassurance presser where he basically said, I'm sticking with Alabama. Alabama's all I'm focused on. And I don't know what that means. You can't really trust anybody in the biz, but also, has any steam picked up with the Michigan news and Kalen DeBoer?
You know, Zay, it's a fair question based on this. I have heard that there is a contract on Kalen DeBoer's desk. I don't know how legitimate that is, but it hasn't been signed. And like, if you truly want this to go away, it's pretty simple. I am not going to be the head coach at Michigan. I will be back in 2026. He was pressed a little bit. Will you be the coach next year? And he said, yeah. I do believe Kalen DeBoer at his word that he hasn't had any discussions with Michigan. Do I believe that his representation hasn't? No. I think there is definitely a flirtation. I think Michigan wants him. To me, I think Michigan is sitting there hoping Alabama loses tonight. Then they will try to make him an offer he can't refuse. I think that offer would be easier for DeBoer back-to-back four-loss seasons, when the last time Alabama lost four games in a season before Kalen DeBoer was Nick Saban's first season back in 2007. So this is, you know, uncharted territory for a lot of Alabama fans. I think it shows you that Alabama fans are spoiled, not their fault. Nick Saban was just that good. I think it will be a long, long winter, though, if DeBoer loses tonight. It will feel like, to me, that they didn't even make the college football playoffs. To go 10-4, the way this season kind of fell apart in November against Oklahoma, they barely get by a really bad Auburn team, they get destroyed against Georgia, and then if they were to lose to a very, very one-dimensional defensive Oklahoma team, I think it would make things easier for DeBoer to leave. I don't think he will. My personal opinion, I think it would be a terrible look for him to take that job. I think there's some dysfunction with that job right now. Chip, I know you're a Michigan fan, but I think you would agree. Seems like there's always some kind of controversy or scandal hovering. I think right now Alabama is the better job. Obviously, those are two of the top five jobs in college football. I just don't know why he would take this. Now, I have heard that, you know, his wife and family are very happy in Tuscaloosa, but I have heard that somebody around his camp did, you know, make the suggestion that it is easier to at least get to a college football playoff and win a championship when you're Michigan, because the Big Ten is not as deep as the SEC. That is factual. But let's also not forget that the best job will never be Michigan in the Big Ten. That's always going to be Ohio State. You can make an argument that Alabama, along with Texas and Georgia and LSU, is the best job in the SEC. So we'll see what happens here. I think the door is completely shut if Alabama beats Oklahoma, and then they're playing January 1 in the Rose Bowl against number one seed Indiana. At that point, I think both, maybe we somehow won a championship. And I think Michigan, time-wise, just couldn't afford that. So I think this is their one shot. If DeBoer loses tonight, they'll make a run at him. I don't think they'll get him. They could. And if they don't get him, you know, Jed Fish, Kenny Dillingham, you know, one of these, Jesse Minter, one of these other names will pop up.
Yeah, Kenny Dillingham, they're wearing him out on these questions. He's having to answer it every day.
Well, I can't believe he's in the mix, but you know, to Arizona State's, you know, I don't know what, like Kenny Dillingham's such a fit for those guys and he's asked for certain things. And if you're not going to give him those certain things, then I don't blame him from not signing a contract and looking at these other jobs. So if Arizona State really wanted to lock him down, they could. And obviously, man, if you get an opportunity to take Michigan, even if you're an Arizona State guy, you know, you got to bolt.
Any, give me your first round thoughts here. Any surprises?
I don't know, Chip. You know, the problem is we got these damn group fives in it. And look, it's a great story for those guys and those players, and they'll be able to tell their kids and grandkids. But, you know, we were talking about this the other day, and you guys probably got into this. If we didn't have this group five tie, more than likely, I think it would be Texas playing at Oregon and Notre Dame playing at Ole Miss. And just imagine how good these first round games would be. And last year we go back to the first round and it was fun because we'd never seen the 12 teams, college football playoff format. We had never seen teams on campus. But last year, 4-0 for the home teams. They won by an average of 19 points per game. These four home teams hosting are 27-2 overall at home this year. I do think tonight's game and tomorrow morning's game between A&M and Miami are going to be really good, but Tulane, Ole Miss is going to be another bloodbath. JMU, Oregon should be a bloodbath. And then once we get past this first round, then I think we got some really, really good matchups at that point. But I don't expect anything crazy in this first round. You know, win or lose, Alabama, Oklahoma should be a one-possession game, and the same with Miami and Texas A&M tomorrow.
Well, tell everyone what's going on at LancesLock.com.
Yeah, we're winning. You know, unfortunately, one of my top three worst losses as a fan of the Los Angeles Rams last night. I just cannot believe it was absolutely brutal, guys. I went straight, like normally, and I hate to say this, this is a bad reflection upon myself, but it's just factual. I would have broken something in the past. I gave my son a hug. I said, I'm going to bed, buddy. And I went and I took a 10 milligram indica gummy. And I tried to go to sleep, and I just tossed and turned all night because, to me, they're the best team in the world. They really are, and I'm not saying that. I think if you guys, you've watched them, they are the best team in football. Over 500 yards
of offense
in Lumen. Yeah, they're up 16 with 8 and change left. I mean, Seattle has a punt return. They convert 3 consecutive 2-point conversions. Like, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And now we go from the 1 seed to the 5 seed. And playing in the NFC, it's almost impossible to go on the road in the wild card round, then the divisional round, then the championship round just to get to a Super Bowl. So very, very brutal loss. On top of that, I had Seattle -1.5 for my subscribers. So not only did the Rams lose, Seattle didn't cover. They win by 1. But outside of that, last weekend, I go back to it, we were 9-0 in football. We were 7-0 in the NFL. We've been killing it this year. We're already 2-1 in the bowl season. We've got a game going right now in the bowls. We've got tonight side up between Alabama and Oklahoma. We've got 2 sides in the college football playoffs tomorrow. We've also got a side and a total in the NFL, 2 games tomorrow. It's all up and available free play every single day. You can get a daily package. You can get our entire bowl package for $150 that takes you through national championship January 19th, or you can buy a monthly package for $100. All available, LancesLock.com.
Appreciate you, LT. Merry Christmas, my man.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. You guys let me know your schedule next week. I'll be there. I apologize for this, but it's for a great cause. That's all I can
say. Hey, do your thing. I'll call you. Maybe Monday we'll pop you on.
Okay, I would love to. Love you guys. See y'all.
All right, buddy.